Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Hopefully you are enjoying your Tuesday afternoon, however it is you're listening and wherever it is you are listening from. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. You've got us for another couple of hours. Cavaliers basketball coming your way tonight. Cavs hosting the Atlanta Hawks down at Quicken Loans Arena. And we'll get into this a little bit later on in the show, but you alluded to this in your local news update a few moments ago. According to reports, sounds like the NBA All-Star Game could be making its way to Quicken Loans Arena over the next few years.
That's what they're saying.
All right, well, I'm excited about that because usually some cool things come along with that. Say what you will about the game itself. Maybe not be as entertaining as it used to be, but the events that surround it, I think there's still some entertainment value there.
I'd agree with that. I think it's always fun to kind of be downtown. Columbus Blue Jackets got the opportunity to host the NHL All-Star Game. It just brings people in and shows what a great fan base you have in the city.
Speaking of entertainment value, you'll get a lot of that if you pick up 3 days in Ashford. And we are lucky enough now to be joined on the hotline by the author of 3 days in Ashford. He lays his head in Massachusetts these days, but he's a Cleveland native. Ty Tracy joining us on the hotline. Ty, thanks for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me, Andy.
Well, I want to get into 3 days in Ashford. Now, this is a horror novel, and I know this took you a long time to put together, but for those that had not had the chance to pick this up or take a look at your website, what is this book all about?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take you through it. The story essentially follows the hero of the story, Daniel Hollowell, and it's actually written in the first person by Daniel Hollowell telling the story. He's sort of a pseudo-celebrity ghost hunter. He has his own television show on a television station called the Museum Network. It follows his band, his group of paranormal investigators, as they sort of go through the motions of, you know, doing what they do all day, but one day they're just staying at a hotel. They happen to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and they run into a guy in a hotel bar who convinces them to come to Ashford, which is a town which is about 35, 40 miles east of Cleveland. And he has these wild stories about how haunted it is, and there's people disappearing there left and right, and there's all sorts of officials investigating it, and nobody's ever been able to unravel the mysteries. So obviously, you know, it piques his interest. Him and his group of friends, they clear their schedules, and they head out to Ashford one day, expecting it to just sort of be like a half day. You know, this isn't going to turn into anything type of deal. And, you know, short story, you know, long story short, they kind of get a lot more than they bargained for. It's a lot deeper than it sounds of them just having to get themselves out of Ashford. Daniel, our hero, really has to go through and sort of do an introverted look into his own self on a spiritual level in a very dark fashion in order for him to really unravel the mystery and to try to figure out what's going on. And if you want to know more, you'll probably just want to pick it up and read it.
See, I like that tease there. Well done, my friend. So what I find interesting too here is that as you're describing Ashford, Ohio, you know, from a proximity standpoint, you've described it 30, 35 miles east of Cleveland. And, you know, for those who have been east of Cleveland, as you get outside of Cuyahoga County, boy, there are a lot of areas where that could certainly lie out there. And a lot of those areas are pretty much wide open as you get into Lake and Geauga County. But, you know, when you're putting the description together for a town like Ashford, what goes into that? Like, what kinds of elements at play, without giving the book away, what kinds of elements are at play here when you're putting together a town like Ashford, Ohio, which has so many different layers to it?
There's a lot. I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, but the old adage is you write what you know. I kind of grew up out in the sticks, so out in that direction, a lot of woods around me in all directions. When you're going through the thought processes as far as trying to wrap an actual novel around something like that, there's a lot to it. There's a lot more fiction than there is anything real that goes into it. But you do write what you know, and there's a lot that I've sort of, you know, harkened back to my old childhood and my own upbringing that I wrapped into this story, things that I've always sort of wanted to write about, things that have always been kind of like lore and old wives' tales around where I grew up. And I really wanted to kind of take that and sort of just bundle it all up into one package and just try to make it as horrifying as I possibly could. I hope that's what I've done.
Ty, I had the opportunity to read a little bit of the book here recently before we jumped on the air, and as I was reading the description of the main character, I kind of wondered, as Bull described you on the air, you're out in Massachusetts now, this guy's coming from Boston into the Cleveland area, how much of the character do you kind of put yourself into?
Wow, you nailed it. Yeah, there's a ton. You really hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of... I actually talk about it a lot, Ty Tracy, obviously. And then Daniel Hollowell talks a lot in the story about his opinions of the Cleveland area around growing up in Boston, sort of like the opposite of me, having grown up in the Cleveland area and coming out to Boston. So it's interesting. It should be interesting for both, you know, either side, if you come from Boston or if you come from Cleveland. So there's a lot of just little tidbits about, you know, how somebody like me who has made the opposite of the transition would have felt about it. It's interesting that you picked up on that just in the back cover. That's cool.
Yeah, see, he's pretty quick, man. That Matt Douglas, he thinks pretty quickly on his feet. You succeed, my friend. Don't come give me this try stuff.
I'm kind of curious on that, too. As you're writing the novel, does the character kind of develop into it? Do you have all these ideas kind of down as you're writing it?
This one in particular, this is actually the second novel I've written. My first one was never published because I could never really get it up to the, I have kind of higher standards. I can never really get it up. But this one, it was outlined and then rough drafted a couple of times. So that by the time I actually went down and sat down and wrote the actual novel itself, the character was pretty well developed.
Again, we're being joined by author Ty Tracy, talking about his new book, 3 Days in Ashford, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, where did the inspiration behind writing this particular book come from? You've illustrated a lot of different angles and some personal connections here as well. Where did the original inspiration behind writing this particular book come from?
Yeah, like I said, a lot of it came from sort of where I grew up, and I really hearkened back to my childhood, and I wanted to sort of wrap it all up into one package. And I've always liked the genre of horror. Like, I've always been into it. It doesn't need to be Halloween for it to be, you know, for things to be scary. I'm like, I like it in August. So, as a fan of it, I've always sort of wanted to get involved. And one of my main motivations as a writer in general is just, I don't feel like movies are as scary as they used to be. And just content in general isn't as scary as it used to be. Stephen King isn't as scary as it used to be. So it's a lot of just like, I want to make things, I want to sort of bring back real, like good, plausible horror novels. And, you know, Any sort of content like that that I can put off into the world, I'm happy. I'm happy about it.
Give me an idea as to how this all began for you as well. And if you go to Ty's website, tytracy.com, you can see some journal posts where he actually gets really deep into some of the ideas that really inspire him to get into writing some of these horror fiction novels. And give me an idea as to where this all began for you. As I understand it, you were about 10 years old when you really had the pants scared off you by a horror flick. So take us through that whole experience.
So yeah, it started with me when I was young. Like I knew I liked horror, but you know, it kind of started in a comical fashion. I think I want to say I was like 10, maybe I was like 12. I was watching Poltergeist when I was that age, and I think it was just me and my sister. My sister was babysitting me. I probably shouldn't have been watching it, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what was going on, but lo and behold, like I was terrified when I was finished watching that movie, and I stood up, and somehow I stumbled over the vacuum cleaner, and it was plugged in. And I stepped on the foot pedal, and it fired up, and I just had no idea what had happened. I thought it just turned on by itself. And I got like a quarter mile down the road running before I realized what had actually happened. So it was sort of right there. I'm like, no, this is cool. I kind of like this genre.
Wow. So you got a quarter of the mile down the road. Now, I've seen you run before. You can travel short distances in a very, very short amount of time. So I know you can get down the road pretty quickly. And the scary thing about where you grew up, a quarter of a mile down the road, you were kind of in the pitch black in the middle of nowhere, so that may have been even scarier than being tripped up by your vacuum cleaner. Am I wrong?
Oh, no doubt. Like you said, I can travel in short distances quickly like an alligator, but after that I have to kind of lay down for about a half an hour. Luckily, I was much younger then, so I managed to get myself back to the house pretty easily.
Yeah, you're pretty resilient. There's no question about that. When you're 10, 12, you can recover from that pretty quickly. You've described one of your journal entries in here about a peculiar sense of bored hyperactivity. Boy, there's a lot of lingo in there I want you to explain. Give me an idea as to what this peculiar sense of bored hyperactivity has to do with the influencing of you putting this book together.
certainly. I think in that particular blog post, I'm talking about sort of the range of emotions I went through when I finished the novel, when I published it. In that particular case, like, I had published it, and the whole thing, like, this whole process has taken, like, 5 years, like a half decade that I've poured a lot of my spare time into it. So now that that's done, I think it's kind of like anything else that you spend that much time on. You're really sort of grasping for, like, what do I do now? That's sort of your overflowing with that sense of, like, I should start writing again, I guess, but mm-hmm. I don't have any ideas. So it's, you're bored because you want to be doing something, and you're hyperactive because you feel like you should be doing something, is sort of where that came from.
I think we could all relate in some form or fashion, no doubt about that. I want to get back into the writing process, and, you know, you mentioned it took 5 years for all of this to come together. Boy, people pick up a book, they start reading it, and they think, man, that's fascinating. What goes in to putting a book together? I mean, there's the editing process, there's the publishing process, there's the promotional and the marketing process that goes into this as well to get this out into the right hands so that people can read it and react to it. Take us through those 5 years. Well, what were some of the more challenging humps that you had to get over to get this thing published?
Certainly. It's a lot more than I think a lot of people understand. You come up with an idea that you sort of have in a napkin, and then you have to sort of turn that into a novel. So you can't just sit down and start writing a novel. You have to write that out into an outline. It's like old English class. You have to write an outline, then you have to write a rough draft, then you have to write a second draft, and then you actually get a chance to write the novel itself. And at that point, even when you're done writing that first draft of the novel, your manuscript, it's basically trash, because you were just writing down words that, you know, it's not up to snuff on English, and that your grammar is not great. So at that point, getting to that point is actually the easier part. The hard part starts then, when you have to start really editing your manuscript. Like, because I wrote it, and if I knew how to edit it properly, with grammar and being perfect and, you know, marketable to the point where I can put it out to the public, it would already be that way. So then you gotta go through and you gotta read it 17 times and edit it every single time over and over again. Then finally, I sent it off to an actual professional editor, and I'll give her a plug, Katrina Robinson, Calliope Writing Services. She's a force of nature when it comes to editing books. She's, if it weren't for her, this thing would look like a, I don't know, there'd be a lot of red ink all over it. But you get it back from the actual professional editor, then there's a whole nother round of editing it that you have to go through and accept or decline her edits, essentially. And only at that point do you maybe have something that you can put out to the public. And there's usually two or three more rounds of editing beyond that point. So then probably like the first 2 years of the actual writing part and the final 3 years are probably just trying to get it ready to be consumed by the public. I hope that makes sense. That was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Ty, as I was kind of peeking through this book and reading through those first couple of chapters, the man who's telling the story is obviously writing this book or this situation down from a not-so-pleasant part in his life. But I was curious, is it kind of a psychological type of story for someone who's going to pick this up? Is it more of the horror story? Because it seems like you have a little bit of both from what I'm seeing, and it's the town that Satan calls home. It really seems like it could hit on both of those.
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely a bit of both. So it's sort of intertwined in both. Like, the whole key to everything sort of lies with Daniel Hollowell, and it's him getting to the point where he has to sort of look inside of himself on a spiritual level, on a very dark spiritual level, so that he can sort of draw correlations with what's going on around him in Ashford. And there's the very real horror element as well. There's definitely a third-party force, that's happening in Ashford that's after everybody, like the old school, like, get away, get out of this town sort of element. But at the same time, there's that element of Daniel Hollowell has to sort of look within himself as a person and come to grips with a lot of really hard questions before he can really unravel what's happening.
We're being joined by author Ty Tracy discussing his new book, 3 Days in Ashford. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Give me an idea, too, as to how tough it can be developing these characters. I think each writer, each author does it differently. When you're writing the story, the character just naturally evolves and develops. But I think in a story like this, too, for some of these characters, without giving anything away, there's also an end game for some of these characters. Is that something that you write down on paper before you put the story together? Or is that just one of those deals where it kind of evolves as the story evolves?
That's a great question. It's not something you can actually capture in an outline, at least in not such a way, in any sort of way that I've figured out yet. You do sort of develop the characters as you're writing the actual manuscript itself, and it's hard. You've got to figure out a way to make these characters relatable to people that are going to be reading it. And if something bad's going to happen to them, you know, you got to make people care when something bad happens to them. So you have to develop them in such a way that makes people actually care about them. So you've got to develop humor. You've got to ingrain, you know, a person into this you know, character in a book that people are actually going to be disappointed about if something bad happens to them, and they're going to actually cheer for when something good happens to them.
See, that's interesting, because you're right. If it's somebody nobody cares about, if they die in the book, it's not really going to make a dent. But if it's somebody that the readers really get behind, then you start tugging away at those emotional strings when that person goes by the wayside. So that's interesting how that comes together. Well, Halloween, of course, is one day away. And this book was recently released. There was a method behind that madness, was there not?
No doubt, yes. It was definitely a targeted, calculated idea to get this book out there. Early October, sort of take advantage of some of that Halloween. You know, everybody is a little bit more interested in the horror genre around this time of the year, so it was definitely a plan behind it.
No question about it. Well, Ty, before we let you go, for our for our listeners out there right now that are interested in getting their hands on this book and also taking a look at, well, maybe some future pieces that you might put together, where can they go to get their hands on this book? I know it's available in different forms and fashions.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, exclusively on Amazon. If you're an ebook reader, like if you have a Kindle, you can purchase a copy of 3 Days in Ashford for $5.99 on Amazon. But if you're more of a I want a real book kind of reader, you can also get a paperback copy at Amazon for $14. So just go to Amazon and you can just search for either Ty Tracy or 3 Days in Ashford, and you'll find it. It's my only book up there at the moment. If you want to know more about, you know, future Ty Tracy goings on, and just check out my journal, feel free to hop on the old internet machine and go to tytracy.com, or you can even find my Facebook page, which will link you to it, Ty Tracy Author on Facebook, and feel free to like that page and follow, as well as Goodreads. You can find me on Goodreads and follow me on there as well if you really want to. I would appreciate it.
Simple enough. TyTracy.com, T-R-A-C-E-Y. That's TyTracy.com, where you can get more information and the links to buy his book on Amazon are on there as well.